Would you take your Bibles this morning and come to Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1. I'd like to begin reading at verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened or helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. This morning, I would like to share with you some thoughts about a motherly focus. A motherly focus. And before we do that again, would you bow your heads with me and your hearts, and let's pray. And would you ask the Lord as you pray for God to open your heart to speak to you and lay upon you the truth of the message at hand today as we look at this motherly focus in the Gospel of Luke. Pray with me. Once again, dear Heavenly Father, we are glad to be alive today, alive in Christ, loved by the eternal God of heaven, privileged to hold in our hand the Word of God, fixed, established forever, as unchangeable as you. And now, dear God, we pray that you might, by your gracious Spirit, speak to us, certainly not in audible fashion, but through that mysterious, oftentimes silent ministry of the Spirit of God. May your hand be upon each for good today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A motherly focus. First of all, at Zacharias' house. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 40, if you would please look there to begin. Mary, in consideration of everything that was divulged to her in the previous verses of this same chapter, went to visit. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Elizabeth herself, a mother of another very notable biblical figure. She enters into this house, and verse 41, we read, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed. I just want you to stop and think about that. Now here's a motherly focus beginning in Zacharias' house. And all these verses that I just read, we see Mary's response in the verses that follow. But please notice something. It says, blessed is she that believed, pointing back to Mary. And what was it she had to believe? Well, if you go over to the 26th verse of the same chapter, she gets a bit of information in verse 28 from an angel who says to her, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, typically, those words are not uttered to a person except they be a mother of children. And Mary, at this point, is a mother of none. And so all that the angel has now told her is this, hail thou that art highly favored. And she was troubled in verse number 29. And she didn't know quite what to make of the salutation. And then the angel says in verse 30, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And I believe with all my heart, in light of what was said there in verse 45, that everything turned at this point on Mary's response to what she had just been told. If you can only imagine what life would have been like for Mary if she had heard what the angel said and in some fashion was reluctant to not only believe it, but to be complicit in it. And so first of all, we see here of this woman who is told, you have found favor with God, and in as much as you have, you are going to conceive in your womb. And she's still puzzled because you come to verse number 34. She says to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And then the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And of course, underlining all of that truth is verse number 37. For every skeptic, for every naysayer, and for every doubter of what God has said in His Word, note verse 37, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Not even the conception in the womb of a woman who has never known a man. Not even that. If God can do that, and He surely can, is God not also able to take any sinner, and bring that person out of death to life, to be born from above? And that quite without the agency of the human being. And so Mary's response is this in verse number 46. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And her focus is evident. She says, my spirit hath rejoiced in the Lord. Please notice her focal point in verses 48 through 55. I just want to point out the obvious to you. In verse number 47, her focal point, God, my Savior. Here's a motherly focus now. God, my Savior. Then verse 48, the word He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. Verse 49, He that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is His name. Verse 50, His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. In verse 51, He hath showed strength with His arm. Verse 52, He hath put down the mighty from their seats. Verse 53, He hath filled the hungry with good things. And verse 54, He hath helped His servant. All through these verses, this motherly focus is upon Him. Incredible when you think just what was told to her. Some would say, well, you know, she's not talking about Christ per se. And I say, oh yes, she is. How else would you explain? Obviously, when we read these things and you go back and you check back what God has done, where is it that you can make separation between any member of the triune God in history past? God always acts in unison. There is but one God existing co-equally, co-eternally, in three equal persons, but yet with roles designated. And so as Mary's focus is upon Him, I want to say that that's a commendable thing. Her focal point is Him, God eternal, immortal, invisible. Now, to be conceived in her womb, the babe cradled in a manger, one day to be crucified on an old rugged cross. So as we begin this whole motherly focus, it begins in the house of Zacharias. And after what Elizabeth recites to her, Mary's response is not to direct attention to herself, but to direct all attention. For anybody who's interested in hearing, as those of you who are sitting here reading and listening to me, is Him. Mary's focus is on God, my Savior. She did not count herself to be equal with God. She did not see herself as a quasi-God. Because she uses the word handmaiden here. And the handmaiden is a slave. A slave. A servant of God. And here this servant believed the message from the angel and surrendered herself for this tremendous opportunity to be the vessel through whom the Redeemer would come. Now, her focal point must be seen at the manger. Chapter 2, please, of Luke. At the 7th verse. From conception to the cradle, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn. No room. Cradled now in that manger, there the shepherds would come and declare the saying concerning this child in verse number 17. Please look at that verse. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And what was the saying that was told to the shepherds? Verse number 10 of the same chapter, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." Now that's the saying that verse 17 refers to. The saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But please notice in verse number 19, a motherly focus. Her focal point at the manger. It is said here that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What did she hear? These sayings, the shepherds had repeated to everybody the message from the angels. Here is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And she focused on that. She honed in on that. She zeroed in there. And she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, what's the sense of that? What is the sense of that? It's expressed over in verse 66 of chapter 1. Apply this verse 19 to what you read in verse 66. All they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now she heard from the angel concerning her son. She hears from the shepherds concerning her son. And I can only use one scripture to apply to another scripture and understand that when she kept them in her heart and she was thinking about this, she's got to be thinking to herself, what manner of child is this to be? And I would suppose that it was very similar, probably remotely similar, to what you may have thought about your children when you had them. Those of you who are mothers in the room today, when it became apparent to you that you were going to have a child, you probably at some point in time wondered, I just wonder what kind of a person they're going to be. I wonder how they will be used of God in this world. I wonder what will become of them. And you certainly had your best wishes concerning them. But here is this young servant girl being told that she is going to bear the Son of God, who is a Savior. The Son of God, a Savior. And she ponders them in her heart. And you know, you look at verse number 65, fear came upon all that dwelt about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the country of Judea. They laid them up in their heart, saying, what manner of child shall this be? So there you have at the manger, a motherly focal point. Then please notice something else. In chapter 2, her focal point at the temple. From conception to toddlerhood, now to age 12 in chapter 2 and verse number 41 and verse 42. It says there in verse number 40 that the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. 12 years old, her focal point at the temple at age 12. They went up to the Passover. Please notice this. They went up to the Passover with the Passover. They went up to the Passover with the Passover. Now, there's always been a debate among theologians and authors about the extent to which Mary and Joseph knew these things, to what degree. But there they had the Passover. He was there doing the Father's business. And look at verse 50. After a little bit of a little problem, he says to them, I must be about my Father's business, and they understood not the what? The saying which he spake unto them. But then in verse number 51, he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them, and his mother did what? She kept all these sayings in her heart. She kept all these sayings in her heart. What was her focal point now? His sayings, her focal point. The sense perhaps is similar to Daniel's comment in that profound prophecy. Go back to Daniel chapter 7 a minute. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. She kept all these sayings in her heart. My Father's business. Mary's focal point now is her son, upon him. And as he grows up, the sayings multiply. And at each point there seems to be some consternation, some lack of an ability to understand the significance of all that's said. What must this mother be thinking here at the temple at this time in our Lord's life? Well, I can only look at Daniel 7 and I can point you to verse number 15 at Daniel's response to some information that was given him by the Lord. Look in verse 15 and please just note for the record his emotional state. After having received the information about the Son of Man in verse 13 and 14, about His dominion, His glory, and His kingdom, Daniel, verse 15, I was grieved in my spirit. In the midst of my body, and it says, the visions of my head troubled me. Troubled me. Look at verse 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations... What's a cogitation? My cogitation is what goes on from ear to ear. Your thoughts, your thinking process. My cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. Look over in chapter 8 and see, look at verse 27. More information incoming. Verse 27, I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did what? The king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but not understood it. In chapter 10, verse 8, I'm just trying to give you an emotional profile of what may well have been the state of mind of this young mother. And all the sayings, chapter 10, verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. I retained no strength. In verse number 16, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, I have retained no strength. So you see things like grieved in my spirit, astonished, sorrows are turned upon me. Could it be that Mary, the focal point of this mother pointing to a place that is a Savior, her son had to traverse on the road to Golgotha? Would that not make sick any mother? But what you do not see in any of the narrative regarding Mary in any part of Scripture was that she ever stood between her son and the stated purpose of God for him on the road to Calvary. I bring you to John's Gospel, chapter 19. Where we see motherly focus at Golgotha. In John chapter 19 and verse number 25. What a tremendous statement. If you could take a 3x5 card and challenge your heart day by day, put it on your refrigerator. These words. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother. His mother. There stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother. What a heart-rending scene. A motherly focus. This mother standing there, keep in mind all that she's experienced. The conception of the Holy One in her womb. The cradling of that son in the manger. And from there all the way to the cross. And at the end here we find this mother standing at the cross. He who had seen her great focal point from the beginning, from the conception to the cradle, was the same all the way to the cross, and following the report of His ascension into heaven, this mother continued with the brethren. What was the typical mindset of the people around Mary the people in her community, so to speak, they thought that this Messiah, this one that they had placed great trust in and confidence in, finally was defeated, and they were disappointed and dismayed. They had looked for Jesus to come and usurp the Roman emperor. But when he didn't, and when he was summarily arrested and under a mock trial, was then taken to the cross and crucified, all their hope was gone. What are we going to do now? Normal mother might look at that circumstance and say, I've gone through all this to come here to this. And drop her jaw and lower her head, cower in defeat. You see, that's what the disciples did. They were cowered inside a room, fearful that the same soldiers and religious leaders who had arrested the Lord Jesus would soon come looking for them. And so they were all hidden away. And who appears? Who enters not through door nor window, but through fixed partitions, the Lord Himself, raised from the dead. And then you come to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11, where He ascends into heaven. And from there, the report spreads. Where do you find this mother? Come to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. Verse 12, then returned they to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the mother of James. Verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus. To celebrate the conquest of Christ at this point. Conquest, yes. Because before or as He was ascending into heaven, it was said that this same Jesus will come in like manner as you have seen Him go. This same Jesus who was hung on the cross, who was buried in a tomb, was there for 3 days, was raised by the power of God, who lived among men for about a month, maybe 5 weeks, and then ascended into heaven. This same Jesus shall return. This mother could have received no better news than that. Conquest. What's not to celebrate? How dare our worship services, we who worship the living, promised returning Christ, how dare our services become droll and dull and mundane? How is it that we barely can drag ourselves from time to time to the house of God to worship Him? How is it that we find so little time to pray, humbling ourselves upon our knees to beseech Him? Living by faith. Celebration. I believe with all my heart that God is a tenor. I believe that. But I also think that He can sing parts. I think He can do bass. I think He can be a baritone. Say, well, can He sing soprano? Well, remember, God is He, and He is the focus of Mary. I want you to go back in the Old Testament book to see a passage in Zephaniah. Not Zechariah now. Zephaniah. Chapter number 3. And would you look please at verses 14 through 17. Zephaniah 14 through 17. And what is it that you see about your God's singing ability? Remember what Mary said at the beginning of Luke chapter 1? Not only did she say, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," but "My spirit rejoiced. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, whatever she did not understand previously at the conception or the cradle or the cross, now she did. Please, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. Would you read that passage of Scripture in unison? Please read it in unison. Daniel, start us.
Sing, O daughter of Zion, thou of Israel, be glad and rejoice with all hearts, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away thy judgments, he has cast out thy enemies. The king of Israel will be in the Lord, and in the midst of thee, thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and be quiet, let not thy hands be quiet. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice that he is restored. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee.
He will joy over thee with singing. This was he of whom Mary spake. My soul doth magnify the Lord. That word magnify means simply this, to make or declare great, to enlarge, to exalt, so as to make conspicuous with an eye to honor him above all at all times. Magnify. Who is this that we magnify? Titus chapter 2 verse 13 speaks of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, with reference to His return. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says we speak about the great, our great high priest, Megas, great high priest. The writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 13 verse 20 talks about that great shepherd of the sheep, mega shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep and the promise of promise to which Mary, with her motherly focus at the end of that time, was able to zero in on was this. That same Jesus will come again. You believe that? Here's how we magnify. One final place. Would you look at 1 John chapter 3? To magnify Him, to make Him large and conspicuous. That verse in Titus 2 verse 13 says this about looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 3 verse 3, every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He who is coming is pure. How is it that you and I may magnify our God, our great God and Savior? How is it that we may magnify Him who is our great high priest? First of all, let me suggest we can pray to Him regularly. How is it that we can magnify Him who is the great shepherd of the sheep? Here we come then to the acid test of authentic Christianity as spoken of by Jesus Himself in John chapter 10 in the great passage on the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep follow me. Magnify Him as you follow Him. And as you follow Him, purify. Do not detract from the credibility of your words, by the life that you live, but rather may your focus, like Mary's, be continually upon Him. No matter what your circumstance is right now, what it'll be tomorrow, what you face for Tuesday, on for the rest of your life, may every day your focal point be upon your great High Priest. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Lord and our God, we bow, overwhelmed by all that You have done for us and continue this day, looking forward to seeing You face to face. Really, Lord, everything else of which we might be concerned about just withers away and dries all up into insignificance, but that we might see Jesus only. And furthermore, dear Lord, that as we move among the people of our community, may people see Jesus in us. For we ask it in His name. Amen.